In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant, it's just that they know so much that isn't so.
Welcome to the Red State Town Hall program. I'm your host, Primo Mondoni. My co-host, Ken Brown, will join me in a couple of minutes. Please visit the show's website, redstatetownhall.com. While you're there, be sure to like us on both Facebook and Twitter. Which contact us, email address is Primo, P-R-E-M-O, at redstatetownhall.com. Our show is broadcast here on Red State Top Radio, America's premier grassroots conservative internet talk radio network. The show is also syndicated through iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Podomatic, TalkStream Live, Player.fm, Roku, and at least a dozen other websites. You can listen to the station using their Android, iPhone, and BlackBerry apps. Visit the station's website, redstatetalkradio.com, to download the appropriate app for your smartphone. If you don't have a smartphone, you can listen using any phone on the station's 24/7 listener line provided by TalkStream Live by dialing the following. For Studio A, 605-562-4209, and for Studio B, 518-712-0045. We start the show to give a shout-out to our AM, FM, and digital affiliates, WDDQ, FM 92.1, Adel, Georgia, WSFB, 1490 AM, Talk 97.7 FM, Quitman, Georgia, Talk Radio, AM 1620, KTFL, Gilbert, Arizona, WMQL, Radio FM 105.5, Brevard, North Carolina, WJNW, AM 1650, Herndon, Tennessee, Kaufman County Talk Radio, AM 1680, KCTR, Terrell, Texas, Tax Pro Radio, Gainesville, Georgia, WCNR Digital, West Virginia, and K98Talk.com. I think that's pretty much everybody. So let's get started. Let's bring on my co-host from Atlanta, Georgia, Mr. Ken Brown. Mr. Brown, how are you doing today, sir?
I've been better. How are you?
Well, better after Alabama beat us yesterday. 19-14. The basic deal was they scored first at 7, and it was 7-7, and they were ahead 10-7, and then they were ahead 13-7, and then we got ahead 14-13 with a little over 5 minutes left, and they scored, and we had a final chance, and we had a fumble. Alabama recovered on the 5-yard line, and that was it. But the thing was, we stopped their vaunted rushing attack. We did a really good job. Our defense played extremely well, better than I thought they were going to play.
And is this in Alabama?
It was at Alabama in Tuscaloosa. Oh, and Alabama, I think they were ranked third or whatever. We're not even in the top 25, so we gave them a scare. We played them tough. Nothing to be ashamed of, but it sure would have been nice to win, though. But
been that kind of year, isn't it?
Well, that makes now four games that we have lost by a grand total of 17 points. That's tough.
Maybe next year will be your year.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. Well, let's get started. Trust me, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to talk about Hillary and the Benghazi hearings, but we're going to do that a little bit later. We got a few other little bits of news we want to share. remember last week, Ken, we were talking about how the some of the Obamacare co-op exchanges were failing. Several of them had already failed, and there were several others on death watch that they knew were going to fail. Well, there's an article that was put out this week by the Daily Caller saying that the feds have a secret list of 11 Obamacare insurers that are about to fail. And here's the thing.
How many are there, Primo? Total.
Well, I mean, out of all the states, you know, 30-some states didn't – I forget what the number was. You know, a lot of the states, you know, of course, did not set up an Obamacare exchange. Let's let the federal government do it. But several right. states did. Obviously, several states did. Well, at least five or six have already failed, and there's 11 of them that are about to fail. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. The 11 states that are about to go under, the feds are keeping it secret. You can't get the information from the Obama White House. You can't get the information from the federal government. You can't get the information from the states. You can't get the information. They're hiding it from Congress. Congress doesn't even know which 11. Now, first of all, how the hell do they do that, get away with that? And secondly, we told you so.
Yeah. But the regular – but people hear these stories. They don't
– No, I mean, if it weren't for us reporting it, nobody would probably freaking know. I mean, you know, if it weren't for talk radio and it weren't for conservative blogs and conservative websites, the ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, whatever, you know, they're not going to report this kind of crap. And they haven't.
No.
There's not been a single story about this from any of those major news agencies. Just amazing that what goes on and what gets overlooked in this country.
We shouldn't have to do this, Primo. We shouldn't have to fight the media, too. The media should be just right down the middle. You know, it should be like, just report the news. They don't.
Good or bad, report it objectively. But that, Lord, that hadn't been done. I don't know if it's ever been done, but it sure as hell hadn't been done in the last 10, 20 years. I
mean,
it's
just, no.
So... But here's the thing. When they do fail, we will know about it. So it's just a matter of time. And I'm pretty sure like 30-some states did not set up exchanges. 20-something or less than 20 did, whatever it is. So, I mean, do the math. Five or six have already failed. Add another 11 to that. What is that? That's 15, 16, whatever it is. that's going to be the vast majority of them gone.
Good riddance.
Well, yeah, but I'm just, again, think about what we talked about last week, that even the White House is admitting that the number of people who are going to be signing up for Obamacare this year is going to be about half of what they thought it was going to be. And if you don't meet those CBO numbers, you cannot, Obamacare is not a viable entity anymore. And so if only half people sign up, and plus, remember this, we reported this, I think, last week. Over 2 million people who were on Obamacare are not paying their premiums anymore. And most of those people, Ken, were getting subsidies and not having to pay a whole lot anyway.
Well, the subsidies have gone, right?
Well, no, the subsidies are still there. It's just that the problem is the premiums have gone up.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's true. There's no doubt about that. Ever since Obamacare came into the picture, everybody's insurance has gone up.
Well, we gave the example just, I think, last week or week before, a guy that was paying $398 a month for Obamacare, and now his bill's over $1,400 a month, same coverage. And he had to drop Obamacare. And, of course, he got an IRS notice that he owes all this money to the IRS because he's not paying his fair share on Obamacare kind of thing.
No, doesn't upset you. It just upset you that insurance is not you have to, if you don't pay it, now the government comes after you for penalties and guess who's going to knock on your door? The IRS of all people. I wonder about this country.
Well, the whole idea of forcing an American to buy a product or service that they either don't want or can't afford is contrary to the Constitution. I don't give a damn what the Supreme Court has said. I don't give a damn what anybody else says. It's un-American. It violates everything this country stood for over 200 years.
But you're letting a part of the government, the Internal Revenue Service, who has total control over you.
I don't know.
I mean, they can bust your door down, and they don't need a warrant. They're the only people that don't need a warrant.
I know.
They can shut you down.
All they have to do is say you owe money and then show up.
They can freeze your accounts. They can shut you down, and you can't do a thing about it.
Well, they can not only freeze your accounts, they can literally withdraw the money out of your accounts, leave you with nothing. I mean, they can.
And there's no
trial, there's no jury, there's no, you know what I'm saying? There's no, yeah. It's just, now eventually at some point you could go to court and this, that, and the other and spend all the money that you don't have already.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, trying to prove your innocence.
Those who can afford to do that.
Well, here's the thing. Even if you were guilty of sin, let's just take an example. Let's say a guy owes the IRS money, legitimately owes the money. There's no excuse. He owes the money. Should you not, in order to take his property, have to go in front of a court and have that adjudicated and have a judge look at it or have a jury look at it or something and say, yeah, you've proven the fact this guy owes the money, so yeah, you can take his boat, you can take his house, you can take this, you can take that. But should that not have to happen before they do that? Should that not be the way it works?
That makes too much sense.
Well, don't get me started with that.
We should say this every show. We should talk about the fair tax every show because the fair tax is a national retail sales tax. It does away with IRS.
It's with all that stuff.
It does. And it's a no-brainer to me. I mean, you don't have to go too far and look at Tennessee, where you are, look at Florida, look at Texas. I mean, it works, folks. It works.
It will work if given the chance. And the thing is, you know, forget what the tax is going to be and stuff. Just the fact that the IRS and the government is not up in your business knowing every little thing you do. This whole idea that if you withdraw too much money, if you deposit too much money, if you withdraw too much money, your local banker notifies the IRS if you go over a certain limit when you withdraw or put money in. Because they automatically assume that if you take out large sums of money that you're a crook and that you're dealing drugs or whatever the hell you're doing. Yeah, you're doing something illegal. When the fact could be that maybe you're just successful and you have the money and maybe you're buying some property and you want to pay cash.
Yeah, but see, they can move. You know, they can move on. They can move and do things on assumptions, and it's you that has to prove them wrong.
Yeah, you're guilty until proven innocent.
And that's not quite the way it's supposed to be, is it?
Yeah, that's kind of ass backwards, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's what I thought. Anyway,
I'm such a less government person. I am a Ronald Reagan conservative, and I don't. And when you see this stuff, the Internal Revenue Service is a perfect example of too much government.
Well, this is what we talked about the IRS. Let's just go ahead and go into this. On the Friday document dump this week. The Department of Justice, Obama's Department of Justice, which you almost have to laugh when you say that phrase, Obama's Department of Justice, has found there have been no wrongdoing by Lois Lerner or anyone at the IRS, even the commissioner, no wrongdoing for targeting conservative groups who were trying to establish nonprofit status with the IRS, even though it is readily apparent that they broke numerous federal laws. The mere fact that Lois Lerner was sharing IRS tax data with other agencies, she broke federal law right then and there.
And pleaded the fifth in front of the committee.
And pleaded the fifth in front of everybody. But she's getting away scot-free. No charges are going to be brought for anybody in this IRS scandal. And all these people who were trying to set up nonprofits for the elections back a few years ago, some of them have still not gotten their approval. even at this point, and still not gotten their approval, they have no recourse. It's done. Nothing's going to happen to these people. Lois Lerner is still getting her pension. She still has her retirement. She is retired. She's living the life of Riley. And she doesn't have to fear prosecution from anyone.
What a country.
And let's just be honest. The investigation by the Department of Justice, I'm sure that... give me a break. Our Department of Justice, and perhaps our FBI, I hope not the FBI, but the Department of Justice is so corrupt. It's nothing but a political arm of the Obama administration. That's all it is at this point.
Yeah. That's been very apparent for 8 years.
Yeah. Well, especially when Eric Holder was there. And this God. Loretta Lynch, she's no better. I mean, I've always said she's Eric Holder with a skirt. That's the only difference. I mean, am I wrong?
No, I totally agree with you.
And we won't get into all that. But anyway, just since we're talking about the IRS, I thought I'd go ahead and bring that up. A couple other things that we need to talk about before we get into all the presidential stuff and Benghazi. This is sort of a presidential subject. George W. Bush was meeting with some folks. I guess they were trying to raise money from Jeb Bush. I'm assuming that's why he was there. And the word is when they were talking about some of the other candidates, he basically had pretty good things to say about everybody. He was nice, which kind of goes along with George W. Bush's reputation. But when he got to Ted Cruz, he literally says, "I just don't like that guy." And which is kind of weird because, you know, Ted Cruz used to work for George W. Bush when he was the governor of Texas back years ago. I think he was Solicitor General at that time, I believe. And the Bush family helped fund one of Cruz's early campaigns. But here's the thing. Blood's thicker than water. And he's sitting there trying to get money for Jeb. Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, he's been having trouble getting money here lately.
Bingo.
The fact that he would sit there and kind of turn on a fellow Republican, and particularly Cruz. And I understand why he went against Cruz in a way, because those Texas donors that the Bushes have pretty much had locked up, a lot of them are shying away from Jeb. And they're giving money to Ted Cruz. So,
well, also Ted Cruz hasn't gone against Trump like the old guard party is kind of like.
Well, yeah, yeah. Trump and Bush have been going at pretty heavy here lately. And so I'm sure that kind of stuck in the George W.'s craw a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Cruz and Trump have. They apparently have gotten together and decided we're just not going to criticize one another.
I think so.
Neither one of them have criticized the other at all. No. That I can remember. And remember, they did have a meeting in New York a few months back. We talked about this.
Yeah.
And I said, I wonder what they're talking about.
Well, you think, you know, if Bush fades away, where do you think his support's going to go? It's not going to go to Bush. If Trump's stuff fades away, it won't go to Bush.
No, if Trump fades, that support's going to go to someone, but it won't go to Bush. It may go to Cruz. It may go to Fiorina. It may go to Rubio, but it ain't going to go to Bush. I don't think.
It'll go to Carson, but maybe. It's not going to go to Bush. I mean, I think that's a given. So Cruz has become the enemy, as well as Trump.
I think Cruz is in a good position to maybe do some damage here soon. And there's one theory that's out there, Ken, and I'm sure you've kind of heard this, that Trump really isn't serious about running. He's just, you know, he's just having fun. He's building his name brand.
That he'll get out.
That he'll get out at some point when he gets bored. And it's no longer fun or whatever. And then Trump would probably literally throw all his support toward Cruz. He asked everybody who was going to vote for him to vote for Cruz. If that happened, geez.
We kind of touched on that last week. I told you my feeling. I think Trump got into it for just the name, to build his name up. I don't think he ever thought it was going to go as far as it's gone so far.
I think he's shocked. I think he can't believe where he's at right now.
Yeah, I think you're right, and I think that he doesn't really want the job. Why would you want a job paying, was it $300,000? When you're a billionaire,
I think it's $400,000 now. But the thing is, he actually said that he wouldn't take any money, or he'd only accept a dollar or something like that, or whatever the deal was.
But really, why would you want that kind of a job? I mean, I don't know if Trump would even want to do something like that. In his position, I don't think so. I think he loves the limelight, no doubt about it. But when you're president of the States, you know how – look at all the presidents, how it ages you. And I don't know why anybody would want to take that job, especially if you're already a billionaire.
Well, here's the thing with Trump that the part I don't understand, and why I kind of wonder if he's going to actually go through the entire process. He's used to doing things his way. He's not used to asking permission. He's not used to trying to garner support and try to get everybody on his side. He's used to just looking at the situation, deciding what needs to be done, and he either gets it done or he tells someone to get it done. That's his style of management. That's not the way the President of the United States works. You're having to work for Congress. You're having to work with, I mean, you're sitting there, you're having to have meetings with senators to try to get their support on this bill and that bill and that, that, that. I think Trump would go nuts trying to do that. I don't think he understands how the political process works when it comes to all that kind of stuff.
I'll tell you what else is kind of funny is that you're looking at all the news media and all the so-called experts are now thinking, you know, this guy can win the nomination. He can actually be president of the United States.
I know.
And they were all just blowing Trump off the first, you know, first month of the of his coming out for the president.
Yeah. Well, he's been running.
He can do it.
Yeah, he's been running strong for 3 or 4 months now. I mean, and everybody predicted he would be gone by now at this point. Everybody said, well, when things start getting more serious, he'll be gone. He won't last, blah, blah, blah. Well, guess what? He's right there, man. I'm not a Trump supporter. I'm just amazed. You have to marvel at how well he has done. And you have to recognize that he is a threat to win the nomination, whether you like him or not. That's a fact. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'd vote for him over Hillary any day.
Yeah, I'd vote for a corpse over Hillary.
That's the truth.
Yeah, that'd be like dig Ronnie up. Let's vote for him.
I'd do it.
Yeah, in a heartbeat. We only got about a minute and a half before we go to break. Paul Ryan. He looks like he's thrown his hat in the ring for speakership of the House. And I think it's a bad thing. I don't want him to be Speaker of the House. Based on, I used to think he was an okay guy back when Romney picked him originally, you know, to run his running mate. He's been up to no good the last few years.
You and me both. I thought it was a perfect. I mean, I said it on the show. I said, what a great choice, Paul Ryan. You know, you got one of the smartest people in Congress.
He's still smart, but I'm not sure he's even a conservative at this point.
I know. I thought he was. But everything I've heard now, I'm thinking immigration, behind the doors, immigration talk, and he voted for No Child Left Behind and Obamacare. He didn't try to stop that. Where are all conservatives, Primo?
I don't know. And trust me, guys, we're trying to put a smiley face on this for you. because if you'd heard our conversation before we started the show, it was pretty damn depressing. Trust me. After the week we've had. And with that, we'll go to break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about just how damn bad this week has been, at least when it comes to, the Benghazi hearings, for example. We're gonna go into detail on that when we come back out of break. So stick with us. We appreciate you listening. This is the Red State Town Hall program. I'm your host, Primo Maldoni. My co-host, Ken Brown, is, of course, here with me, and we'll be back in just a few moments.
Hi, this is Jeff Carlisi from the band 38 Special. The mainstream media has failed the American people once again. Internet radio networks like Red State Talk Radio will not fail you. Tune in 24 hours a day, studios A and B. Great conservative programming around the clock. Red State Talk Radio, the dominant force in internet conservative talk radio.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom36.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom36.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 36.com. Go to freedom36.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom36.com.
Do you use Viagra or Cialis? Have you been thinking about trying Viagra or Cialis? What if we could promise you the same results for less than $3 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for Viagra, you're getting taken to the cleaners. Our pill delivers the exact same results for less than $3. We'll do the math for you. You save more than $16 a pill for the same results. Want more? We'll give you 40 blue pills or 40 yellow pills for $99 and add 4 more pills free. You save more than $500. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know what to do next. You need to call 800-610-3497 and get your 44 pills for $99. Stop overpaying for Viagra. Call us and start saving a ton of money for the exact same results. Ordering is fast and easy with your pills delivered to your door in an unmarked package. Call us right now. 800-610-3497. 800-610-3497. That's 800-610-3497.
If you're diabetic, this message could change your life. Is your blood sugar out of control even when you do all the right stuff? Are you afraid of diabetic blindness and the risk of amputation, as well as all those other side effects? Well, you should be. Is there anything that could help manage your blood sugar? Nobedes is a natural supplement that may quickly and dramatically lower your blood sugar.
My name is Bob Corder. I've been using Nobedes for about 3.5 to 4 months now. And in the first 3 months, I've actually lowered my blood sugars from 500s down to 139, and then it dropped to 88 to 93.
My name is Kirsten. I'm a type 1 diabetic. And while taking Nobedes, my blood sugar levels dropped from 295 to 115 in just one day.
The FDA hasn't evaluated these statements, and Nobedes isn't intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. But for many, it's helped drop their blood sugar. So if you've been evaluated with high blood sugar, don't delay. Evaluate Nobedes now. Call 800-554-7159 and get 2 bottles free. Just cover shipping and handling. Call 800-554-7159. That's 800-554-7159.
Hi, this is Primo Mondoni, General Manager for Red State Talk Radio. We've been bringing you the very best in grassroots, common sense conservative talk radio for over 5 years now. One thing I've learned in those 5 years is that internet radio is a tough, competitive business. And if the station is going to advance that next level, it's going to require a significant increase in investments in both personnel and infrastructure. Our listenership grew by 42% in 2014, and with our ever-expanding listener base, it's time that we begin the move to a more listener-supported model to provide the station's future financial needs. Therefore, we're asking our loyal listeners to consider making a donation to help us reach our goals. Monthly subscriptions begin at only $2 per month. So please, help us restore conservative principles to our republic. Visit our website and become a Red State Talk Radio supporter today.
Red State Talk Radio. The Talk Monster.
The path to restoring our republic was laid down by our founding fathers. The principles of freedom, liberty, personal responsibility, and limited government are conservative ideals we will never abandon.
America is listening.
Grassroots, common sense, conservative talk radio. It's on the internet. Tune in now. Red State Talk Radio, featuring some of the most popular internet talk show hosts in America today. Are you listening? RedStateTalkRadio.com.
Okay, we're back. Thanks for sticking with us. This is the Red State Town Hall. I'm Primo Madonna, your host, and my co-host Ken Brown is joining me from Atlanta, Georgia. Okay, couple of cleanup issues here before we talked about Benghazi. It's been a good week for Hillary. Lincoln Chafee has quit the race, and I'm sure she was shaking her boots with him in the race. And Jim Webb quits, says he might consider an independent run, which I don't know if that would do him any good or not, but that's what he said when he quit. So two people dropped out of the Democrat race. Now, remember, we only had five people in the debate this recently. So now there are just three people. You got Hillary, Bernie Sanders, the communist, socialist, whatever, and you've got Martin O'Malley, a former governor of Maryland in the race. So the two people that we knew had no chance at all realized they had no chance at all. And hopefully, in Lincoln Chafee's, I heard a comment about Lincoln Chafee as to why he quit. Someone said, apparently he has a wife who loves him, and she told him to get the hell out. Yeah, hopefully he listened to his wife, and I don't know what the hell he was even thinking. I mean, just, you talk about a guy that was offering nothing and whatever. At least Jim Webb has a record that he can be proud of, and the fact that he's one of the few real Democrats left in the party. whatever. So, but he quit because he realized the whole damn thing's rigged. So, and that's literally what he said. That was one of his statements. He said that the entire process is rigged, and he just didn't see the point.
Oh, it definitely is. I mean, when you've got Bernie Sanders, coming at talking about enough of the emails of Hillary's emails. I mean, you're going, I don't understand that at all. You want to be president of the United States, really? Do you really want to be president?
I think he wants to be vice president. I think that's what the deal is right there.
He wants to be something. He wants to be something in her administration because he knows he can't beat her, and he's just going to suck up to her and try to get as much support as he can to make his worth that much more.
Yeah. Well, let's move on to the Benghazi hearings, which was on Thursday. High drama, I guess, in a way. She was on the stand for 10, 11 hours. Thank God. And I'll explain this a little later, but thank God they actually had her testify under oath this time. Okay? And I'll explain why that's important here a little bit later. Because when she was before the Benghazi previous hearings before, she was not under oath. Which, I'll give you the Reader's Digest version of that, ladies and gentlemen. If you testify for Congress, you're not under oath, you can lie like hell, and they can't do a damn thing to you.
Yeah.
But if you take the oath and you lie like hell, and it's proven later that you lied like hell, there actually are penalties for lying to Congress. You actually could do, I think, as much as 10 years, believe it or not. Maybe mistaken on that, but I mean, it is against the law, at least, Plus, if you lie to Congress while you're under investigation, which she is currently under investigation by the FBI, and we'll talk about that a little bit more. You better believe somebody from the FBI was listening to the entire process.
Yeah, if they do their job.
And taking notes. If the FBI is going to honestly do an investigation of Hillary Clinton, because during her testimony this Thursday, the testimony she gave proved that she lied. Proved that she violated federal law. Proved that she did not abide by her own State Department rules when it came to securing the emails, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. All kinds of stuff. I mean,
she lied to us. She lied to the families of the dead Americans. To me, you don't have any business being president of the United States when you're lying to people who lost loved ones. You're lying to, and their caskets are sitting right there in front of you.
Well, yeah, you don't, in my opinion, in your opinion, but the thing is, the problem is most of the country doesn't feel the way we do, or at least a lot of them don't. 34% of the people don't give a damn if she lies.
But how can, here's a question that just throws me for a loop. Over 600 requests for more security. 600 plus, Primo, and she doesn't hear about any of them?
Yeah, she says it never came to her desk.
Are you kidding me? Are you freaking kidding me? Then you're inept as a head of state?
Exactly.
Number one or number two, you're just flat lying. Either way, you shouldn't be president of the United States.
If you're in charge of the State Department, you have 600 requests from one consulate wanting more security. 600. And that issue never rises to your desk, never gets to the top of your pile. You got to question that person's, Hillary's, her management style, the way she organized her staff. You got to question her staff. Of course, I mean, I'm thinking like, well, hell, why did this not get to the Secretary of State's desk? She just kept saying, well, it's like,
I never heard.
I take full responsibility, even though I had nothing.
Yeah,
to do,
shut up. It was that. Just shut up, Clinton. Yeah, I don't want to hear that crap. But the buck stops with me. I take full responsibility. I never heard of it. It never came to my desk.
Yeah, she did not go to the Harry Truman School of the buck stops here. That was not her background, because apparently the buck stops as far away from her desk as possible.
You know, the part about I watched several hours of it, and I didn't watch all of it, but I watched several hours of it. And I like Jim Jordan. I think it's who it was, the guy out of Ohio.
Yeah, he did a good job.
He did. I liked him. And he said, you know, she emailed the prime minister of Egypt hours after the attack, and she said, quote, "We know that the attack in Libya had nothing to do with the film. It was a planned attack, not a protest," unquote. I mean, right there, lady, you lied to us. You lied to the families of the fallen four. And then she goes on, and 3 hours after the attack, she emails Chelsea and tells her the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like you said, she emailed Chelsea the night of the attack. The very next day, when she talked to the prime minister of Egypt, this was actually a phone call that she made, and this is a transcript of the phone call where she says that it had nothing to do with the video, blah, blah, blah. Well, guess what happens 2-3 days later when the bodies arrive at Andrews Air Force Base? What's she doing then?
Yeah, she's getting in front of the podium and talking about a video.
Yep. Knowing that she knew immediately it had nothing to do with that.
Yeah, she said.
But because of the president, here's the thing. The president, up to the run-up of the election, the narrative was Osama bin Laden's dead, Al-Qaeda's on the run.
Yeah, now
that was a narrative.
Everybody has to put it into perspective, because we're talking about a month away from the elections here.
Yeah,
I mean they had to just do something to divert the attention that people aren't safe. That was a video. That came out of the blue. No, it didn't. It happened on 9/11. People. It was planned. Based on the information we saw today, we believe the group that claimed responsibility for this was affiliated with Al-Qaeda, quote unquote. That's what she said. She, Obama, Rice, Biden, all of them knew the truth.
But they went for weeks. So weeks after this, they kept telling the lie. Of course, Susan Rice famously went on after the disastrous deal at the Air Force base with the body sitting right there. Susan Rice goes on the shows, Sunday shows, five Sunday shows, and tells the same lie on all five Sunday shows.
And Jay Carney did the same thing.
Jay Carney did everything all that next week. Obama goes to at the UN, and he told the same.
UN.
Cockamamie story.
He was on The View. He was on these talk shows. Letterman. Oh, give me a break. Y'all lied. All of you lied. To get reelected, you lied. And there's the reason Hillary has no business going running for the Oval Office. She'd be in jail.
It
just burns me up.
Well, here's the thing, too. Let's just get into this. Because of what happened a couple weeks ago when Kevin McCarthy opened his stupid mouth and gave the mainstream, lamestream media a narrative that they could push that this is all just a witch hunt, whatever. And by the way, if you're hunting for a witch, Hillary's a good candidate for a witch hunt. Let's just make sure we get that straight.
Change that letter and that word.
Yeah. But the thing was that you knew what the narrative is going to be is if she went through the hearings and kept her composure and didn't blow up like she did the last time, you knew that it would be like Hillary withstands a barrage of Republican blah, blah, blah. I mean, you knew that was going to happen. And it's exactly what happened. And give her credit. She was thoroughly coached. And she stammered around a few times. She kind of got a little lost a few times, but she never blew up and went bipolar on everybody. She didn't do that like she did before.
Because McCarthy gave her a gift. That's the reason.
Well, that's one of the reasons. But I mean, the fact is she held her own under some pretty stiff questioning from Jordan, from Trey Gowdy, some people would have lost their cool. You have to give it because you and I both predicted. We were hoping and predicting that she would, at some point, Gowdy would get under her skin and she'd lose her control.
And let's also say this, Primo, because this is another part that just drives me nuts. This is a committee that has tried and tried to get emails, tried to get information. The first time they got emails from Clinton, guess how many he got? They got from the State Department.
Eight.
And that was, and not till just recently have they gotten more.
Well, they really found out, supposedly the first time they did the FOIA request, they got eight emails, like you said, and they're going like, are you sure this is all? And then they found out there were thousands of them, of course. So that was obstruction of justice as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and then later you find out she got her own server and she's deleted emails because she in her own wisdom said a lot of those are personal emails. I deleted those. It was I turned over everything 100% that was related to the State Department to the State Department. You're a liar, woman.
Well, here's another thing we found out during the Benghazi hearings. A lot of stuff we found out in the Benghazi hearings that the press has ignored, but I think are important. Like, for example, this one. I don't know if you saw this, Ken, or not. When do you think that the committee finally received the emails from Ambassador Stevens, the guy, of course, our ambassador who lost his life? When do you think they received those emails?
That was just recently, wasn't it?
This past week.
Yeah.
After 3 years.
Yeah.
They finally found them. Now, why did... I mean, you talk about a document dump. We talk about the document dump on Fridays, especially Fridays when there's a holiday coming up. The fact that it took that long to finally get the emails from Ambassador Stevens, would that not be one of the first people, when you're talking about Benghazi, that you'd be looking at and trying to get the emails from?
Yeah, you'd think.
You'd think, right?
Yeah, you'd think.
Well, then and the thing is, they haven't even gone through all of them. Because he just got on this past week, and they testified. She testified on Thursday. The mere fact that the investigation is still not done, and she testified is ass backwards. What should happen is they should get all emails, do all their research, do everything, and then you start bringing in witnesses. That's the way it's supposed to work, but that's not the way it works in Washington.
No.
She wanted to now here's the thing. She wanted to testify as early as possible so that if something was found out later that would interfere with her presidential campaign, she could say, I've already been there. I spent 10, 11 hours and answered every question they asked me. I'm not going back. And nobody would hold her feet to the fire and insist she did.
And we still don't know if they have everything. I don't think they do.
No, we don't, because they're still literally investigating. Like I said, they're literally still going through the emails from Ambassador Stevens that they got just this past week. And the FBI has not even finished their investigation. Remember now, they're retrieving emails from that server that they finally got a hold of. And remember, we talked about this about 2-3 weeks ago, about this cloud backup of the email server that the Clinton campaign forgot about. They finally got a hold of that. They turned that over to the FBI, too. So at some point, all that stuff will be gone through. Now, it may take 6 months. It may take a year. I don't know how long it's going to take. But that's when you'd want to. Of course, the way Washington does stuff is so stupid. I mean, would you, Ken, if you were up for guilty, let's say you committed a crime, you're charged with a crime. You're charged with a crime. Let's say you're charged with the crime of murder. Do you think you should have your trial before all the evidence is taken? Or would you, if you were smart, I'd want my trial immediately before they had a chance to get the evidence. I mean, wouldn't that kind of make more sense?
Yeah.
You'd say, well, look, you can't prove I did anything. And then the reason that would be true because they haven't gone through all the evidence yet.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happened here. It's the same thing. And she's getting away with it.
No,
she could be our next president.
Well, that's the point where I just hope that the people, you know, that take these polls and the stuff that over 60% say she's a liar, that they would not vote for her. I'm just praying that this country's smart enough not to elect this liar, because that's what she is, and we all know it. Well, even the people that vote for her know it.
Yeah, but that's the thing. The 60% who think she's a liar, about 34% of those don't care that she's a liar. They admit she's a liar, but they're going to vote for her any damn way. That's scary.
Yeah, it is. That's the part we talked about for the show, and I just pray. See, I made this point to Primo. I said, okay, with Obama, we didn't know anything about this guy. In 2008, people elected him. You didn't know his history. You don't know anything about his upbringing, education, drug use. All that stuff was just kind of it wasn't vetted. And with this lady, it's a totally different story. This lady, we have decades of corruption in her past.
Yeah. I mean, going all the way back to, remember, Watergate. Remember, she was fired from the Watergate committee because that – now, this is a Democratic person in charge, because the Democrats were behind the Watergate investigation, which, of course, you would expect, okay? You had a Republican president, the Democrats were the ones that were behind it, and the Democrats had control of Congress at the time. The guy that was in charge of the investigation for Watergate, he was a staunch Democrat. He fired Hillary Clinton because why? He said that she was a liar and she was unethical. And that she violated the Constitution while she was working on the committee. And he fired her ass. That was in the 70s.
Yeah.
And then you got Whitewater. You got all this other stuff from the Clintons. You got Travelgate. I mean, I'd have to sit down and think of it, but I mean, there's scandal after scandal after scandal, and then all the women, the bimbo eruptions, and Hillary sitting there just trashing these women. And you talk about the war on women. Hillary is one of the biggest people with the war on women, because any woman who comes up and says that Bill did this and Bill did that is apparently nothing but a slut in Hillary's vernacular. And
well, we're gonna see more of this women stuff coming out in her little campaign about, you know, the women don't get their fair shake and all that kind of crap. And she is not, you know, I want to win because I'm. Don't you want to see a first woman president? No, we don't see you as first woman president. You've got too much baggage, woman. Your baggage is you can't even get it through the door. I'll be shocked. Primo, I'll be shocked if she's elected president. Shocked. And I may have to move.
Well, we were talking before the show trying to figure out where the hell we would go to, and we're not really sure if there is a good one. You know, I was thinking Canada, but now the Canadians just recently this week, they've elected a far left guy. The son of former Prime Minister Trudeau is now new Canadian Prime Minister, and he's way out there. The left, but you had about 10 years worth of rule from the right in Canada. Canada was starting to kind of shape up here in the last few years because of that. Now it's going to go right back down the toilet again.
Well, that's the scary part is that that people, political parties, and they do it here in Georgia too, they go after, they'll go grab somebody with the last name that people recognize.
Oh, yeah.
And they did it
like,
here.
Like a Bush or Clinton.
Yeah, Bush, Clinton, Trudeau. I mean, that's the scary part. The scary part is that people go to the ballot box and they go, who am I going to vote for? Well, I don't follow politics, so I'll just vote for that. Oh, Trudeau. I remember that guy. I remember that. Oh, Clinton. Yeah, well, I don't want these new people, other people I don't really know anything about, but I know about Clinton. I'll go with her. See, that's the part that's scary.
Well, name recognition is a big deal, and we know that when it comes to polling. But I'm telling you, it's a big deal when you go to the booth. Because think about this. Most people who go to the voting booth, of course, a lot of people don't even go to vote anymore. We know that we're lucky if we get a 40% turnout. But let's say 40% of the people show up and they go vote. Guess what? Out of the 40% that show up, 75% of those people don't have a damn clue. They have no idea who the hell's running until they get in the booth. I mean, yeah. I am dead serious. I mean, I talk to people all the time. I've talked to people recently that have never voted. Never voted. I talked to a woman. She's in her 70s, and she's politically active. And she has a neighbor right next door, and she was telling me about her. And this woman is also in her 70s. She's widowed. She has never voted in an election in her life. That boggles the mind.
That's, like I said, we're going to be scared. That's the scary thing. That's the thing that I'm not sure about. How many people are out there like that can get turned the election?
People talk about voter turnout and get out the vote and all that kind of stuff. I'm thinking, no, hell no. Let's only... If I had my way, you'd have to pass a test before you got to go vote. You'd have to have a basic knowledge of the issues involved. Like, what are we talking about here? What is going on in the world? Just some simple basic stuff. I'm not talking having to have a doctoral, understanding of the Middle East policy. I mean, I'm just talking about they know a little bit about something. But most people who vote have no clue about anything.
Yeah, I agree with you on the test. They should have a test. But it's not going to happen.
Well, actually, we should have a test to get married. You should have a test to have babies. You said. Get married. Oh. Think about it. If realizing that this is a pet peeve of mine, realizing that 50% of marriages end in divorce, who would sign up for who would sign up to get married knowing that there's a 50% chance you're going to lose everything or 50% of everything you own? Who would sign up for that? You'd have to be a moron, really. Think about it. Hey, like get in that line. Yeah, get me in that line where I have a 50% chance that in a few years I'm going to be basically penniless because I'm going to have to give away half of my crap to someone else. Mm-hmm. Who would sign up for that? Nobody in the right mind.
Nope.
Okay, that's enough on that, I guess. Got a little bit off politics there.
A little bit.
We're out of time. We'll take that, kid.
If you lose freedom here, there's no place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth. God help us. Ronald Wilson Reagan, 40th president of these United States.
That's it. Don't lose heart, ladies and gentlemen. Somehow we will get through this. We're out of here. We'll see you next time.